Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. We're going to sing it twice. It's on page 240. Seated. Greetings, friends. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Pastor Al starts every sermon out with that. It's from Psalms 19, verse 14, in case you wondered. It's a good one. I have another one for you, and most of you were here then, but you remember how Pastor Merle used to start out his sermons? This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us be glad and rejoice in it. Now, you all know that, so I'm challenging you to say it with me now with enthusiasm. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us be glad and rejoice in it. Oh, thank you. Thank you. Well, last Sunday, I had no idea I'd be standing up here. So, this is going to be a short sermon. We got a lot of things going on with the blessing of the fleet and all that, and so it's probably a good thing. The other good thing is that the scripture readings today are so powerful that they're pretty much going to preach themselves. You know, they're very good. I love the 1 Peter text, especially verse 23. You have been born again, not from some seed that will decay, but from one that cannot decay, through the living word of God that lasts forever. Amen. Living word of God. Wow. But the gospel text, the Road to Emmaus scripture reading, that really captivated me. St. Luke's narrative of the disciples' journey, it speaks volumes. A journey of discovery for the disciples about the real Jesus, his resurrection, and what it meant to his followers. I realized how closely that journey resembles our own faith journey, our walk with God. It's been said that we're all on the road to Emmaus. And as I contemplated this and how I was to present it to you so that you could see what I see, I thought about Pastor Al and how he delivers his sermons. He has wonderful stories, and he uses his experiences and the people that he has met along his journey to capture the meaning and the message of the scripture. He's got an abundance of life experiences, an amazing ability to connect the message and capture it for us. Oh, he does another thing too. He gets us to repeat words after him. I think it's to keep us awake and make sure we're paying attention, don't you? I'm going to do it, so you'll know. I'll give you a signal. And Bev, with her enchanting stories that sometimes start out with me wondering, first, where did she find that? And second, how is she going to connect the scripture to it? But she always does. And it's an eye-opening moment when everything comes together and we find God at the center and celebrate his goodness and his work in our lives. But I realize, you know, I don't have their gifts. I'm a numbers person, a little too analytical maybe. My strength is in the scripture, not my knowledge of it by any chance, but my love for them. I find so much joy in studying the Word, the history, and the people. To me, the Bible, the Old and New Testaments, you know, that's God's precious gift to us, our guide, our strength, and our refuge. So just like Jesus opened the eyes of the disciples on the road to Emmaus, God willing, I hope to walk us through this glimpse of the disciples' journey of discovery and explore what it means to us. We're also going to examine three aspects of Jesus along the spiritual journey, so listen for them. Two people, disciples of Jesus, are traveling the road to Emmaus from Jerusalem sometime in the late afternoon. We know one of them was named Cleopas. The other is his unknown companion. I read several opinions on this. Everybody has an opinion about who this unknown companion is, and some say that it was Cleopas's wife, and some think that it was Peter. But I think it's good that we don't know who it is, because I think it's easier for us, this unnamed, to put ourselves in that position, to put ourselves on that road, and I'd like to ask for you to do that. Just imagine, if you can, that you're on this dusty road, on this journey. Think about it, how the disciples felt. They're on their way home after waiting with their friends all day, the third day, waiting and grieving for their loss of Jesus, their teacher, and surely a prophet of God, they believed. They had learned that morning that women from their group had gone to the tomb and found it empty. And here's a reading from Luke 24, verses 3 through 7. On entering, they discovered that the body of the Lord was gone. They were standing there, not knowing what to think about it, when suddenly two men in dazzling bright clothing stood next to them. Terror-stricken, they bowed down with their faces to the ground. The two men said to them, "Why are you looking for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has been raised. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee? The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be executed on a stake as a criminal, and on the third day be raised again." Was Jesus alive then? Where was he? They wanted proof. They doubted the women's story. They thought what they had said was nonsense. They had so hoped that Jesus would be the one who would redeem Israel, but how could he do it if he was dead? You can imagine their confusion, their sadness, their disappointment, and their overwhelming sense of hopelessness. I've been there, in that place of hopelessness. More than likely, we've all been there at one time or another, expecting a certain outcome, and things just don't go as planned. A relationship ends, an illness or death happens, something that changes your life, just pulls the rug right out from under you, and you feel lost, hopeless, and maybe a little frightened. That's where the disciples were. That's where they were on that road to Emmaus that day. But Jesus found them. Jesus finds us. The first aspect to learn and remember on our journey is Jesus seeks us. Jesus seeks us. Jesus found the two on the road, but they didn't recognize him. Jesus senses their unrest, their agitation, and begins to walk with them, questioning them about their conversation. Cleopas says to him, "Are you the only person staying in Jerusalem that doesn't know the things that have been going on here in the last few days?" I find this ironic. Jesus is the only one who knows what's been going on in the last few days, really. And you know, that's kind of true for us. In our trials, Jesus meets us at the beginning. Yeah, Jesus sees the beginning and the end, and he knows our needs better than we do. And just like the disciples, when we meet Jesus in the midst of our tribulation, we don't always recognize him. We don't always realize he's there. The disciples thought their problems were that Jesus was gone. Their leaders had had him killed like a criminal, and they had hoped that he would be the one to save them, to liberate Israel. And this was the third day. Now what was going to happen to them? What was going to happen to their group? What were they going to do? But Jesus called them out on this. In Luke 24, verses 25 through 27, he says, "Foolish people, so unwilling to put your trust in everything the prophets have spoke. Didn't the Messiah have to die like this before entering his glory?" Then, starting with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them the things that could be found throughout the Old Testament concerning himself. Did you know that there are 54 Old Testament prophecies concerning Messiah that were fulfilled in Jesus and reported in the New Testament? 54. God's word is powerful. And think about this. Think about the words being spoke by Jesus. How much more powerful would that be with Jesus speaking to them, opening their eyes to the people, who he was? No wonder their hearts were burning. John Quinn says, "There is strength and optimism gained from the scriptures to the extent that we believe them. There is peace and assurance to be found. There is direction and guidance. But there must first be a knowledge and acceptance of its teachings." So very true. We need to have a little knowledge of the scripture. The disciples knew those scriptures, knew the prophecies. John 1:14, "And the Word became a human being and lived with us, and we saw his glory, the glory of the Father's only Son, full of grace and truth." Jesus is the living Word. The second aspect to learn and remember on our journey, Jesus opens our eyes. Jesus opens our eyes. Throughout Scripture, Jesus opened the eyes of the blind, both literally and spiritually. And while the disciples knew the Scripture, it was clear that they really didn't know Jesus yet. As they approached their village, it was close to dark, and they invited Jesus to stay with them. Luke 24:30 through 31, "As he was reclining with them at the table, he took the bread, blessed it, broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, but he became invisible to them." When they realized that Jesus was with them all this time, they got up at once and ran back to Jerusalem. They could not wait to share the good news with their friends. They ran 7 miles. That's like from here to the Twin Creeks Road. They ran in the dark, on a dangerous road, more probably like a footpath, to tell the 11 and their friends gathered with them that Jesus has risen, that he had made himself known to them in the breaking of the bread. In the Portable Seminary by David Horton, I read this: "God's infinite greatness is veiled from our eyes. We cannot discover him by ourselves. If we are ever to know him, he must make himself known." The third aspect to learn and remember on our journey, Jesus reveals himself. Jesus reveals himself. Our gospel reading ends here, with the apostles and some of Jesus' closest followers discovering Jesus was alive. He had indeed risen. But the story goes on. The journey goes on. It's been going on for thousands of years, since before Abraham and Moses, when God reached out to his people to call them into relationship with himself. God seeks us. It continues with God speaking through the prophets, opening our eyes to who he is and teaching how to live righteous lives. God opens our eyes. It continues with God when God comes to us in human form to sanctify us so that we can be in relationship with him and live in peace. God reveals himself. And so the journey goes on. Our journey begins when we step on the path. As St. Peter tells us in today's scripture reading from the second chapter of Acts, verses 38 and 39, turn from sin, return to God, and each of you will be immersed on the authority of Jesus the Messiah into forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gifts of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you, for your children, and for those far away, as many as the Lord our God may call. This is an invitation to start the journey, to step on the path, to stay on the path. And as we stumble along the path, or dance along the path, or maybe run along the path into the arms of a loving God, we know that we can do so because He has cleared the way. Let us pray. Holy Spirit, thank you for seeking us, for opening our eyes. We pray for your continued guidance on our spiritual journey, and that you will continue to reveal yourself to us and to those who do not yet know you. We pray that you will use us in whatever capacity we may serve to glorify God, our Father. We pray this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.